Amen, amen, amen. Shoo. Pastor Andre was like, I am amped to do this message, but I'm actually quite afraid to do this message because it is such a convicting message. I am not even going to lie to you. For those of you who like taking notes, everybody should like taking notes. I hope you are taking notes. I am preaching and teaching and sharing on taming the tongue. This is found in James 3. Imagine, John. This is found in James 3. And it's a message about taming the tongue. And really, I got so convicted while preparing for this message. And so I just want to put out a quick disclaimer. I hope all of you are wearing closed shoes because I'm about to step on people's toes. I apologize in advance, but it's not me, it's James. Just putting it out there. It's not me, it's James. It's James. And this is quite a message. But here we go. Do you know that the average human being speaks 7,000 words per day minimum? Some of you know somebody that speaks more than that. If they're sitting next to you, just keep looking forward. Don't make any eye contact. Just keep looking forward right now. If they're your wife, just stare right straight at me. Don't make eye contact at all. It's okay. But that's 7,000 words minimum per day, average. That's 2.5 million words a year. 2.5 million words a year on average. That is insane. And as I was prepping this message, I came across a quote that said, words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. And that resonated so much with the message that James gives us in James 3. And so I'll be sharing four things really that James talks about in James 3. And the first thing that I want to tell you is our words determine our direction. Our words determine our direction. So let's read the word of God. James 3 verse 3 goes like this. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. What James is trying to tell us through the illustration of the horse and the ship is that even though our tongue is small in proportion to our body, it is actually quite powerful. And that it has the power to determine our direction. See, the words that we speak, the words that are spoken over us, and the words that are spoken to us, they have the power of life and death. So they determine our direction. But what stands out to me really is verse 4. Let's read that together. Verse 4. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn, but listen, wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So there's two questions I want to pose to you, and I'll pose the first one now, and that is, who or what is at the helm of your rudder? Who or what is at the helm of your ship, at the helm of your bit? Maybe it's your emotions. Sometimes we get angry. I remember not too long ago, Friday, I was Saki and I. Saki's one of our year to serves. Come on, somebody, shout out to our year to serves. Saki's one of our year to serves, and we were driving, doing some of the shopping for the church, and somebody was not obeying the rules of the road. Somebody was not obeying the rules of the road, and we were driving, and they cut us off. And it's at that moment where I almost, out of emotion, said some great stuff or not so great stuff to the person that was driving and cutting us off. See, when you let emotions take control of the helm, you're going to say things that are going to hurt people. things that are not going to bring life, but are going to bring death. But lucky for me, I'd been studying the word of the Lord, James 3, in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit just ricked me back from saying whatever I was going to say, and I spoke in tongues and prayed a blessing over that person. You can ask Saki, he's my witness. He's my witness. And so, who or what is at the helm of your rudder, at the helm of your ship? Maybe it's not your emotions, maybe it's your friendship group. Maybe your friendship group is influencing you in a negative way, where your language is one way at home or one way at church when you speak in Christianese, and then you go to work or you go to school or you go to uni, and it's a whole different, totally unhealthy way of speaking. Maybe it's social media, hello, where you're hidden behind the fence of a screen so you can say whatever you like. Who or what is at the helm of your ship? The who or the what you allow at the helm will determine the direction of your life. See, a horse or a ship, they can't steer themselves. They can't tame themselves. And so that's why a bit or a rudder has to be put in. And see, in James 8, we're going to move slightly to James 3, verse 8, where it says, but no one can tame the tongue. Now, that might be confusing. Like, James, you're talking about taming the tongue, and then just a few verses later, you're like, but no one can tame the tongue. Well, some versions say no humanly person can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. If you put the Holy Spirit at the helm of your tongue, at the helm of your boat, at the helm of your bit, no one, only the Holy Spirit can steer you towards your destiny. If you want your words to direct you in the right direction, the Holy Spirit needs to be steering. Let me prove it further. Let's go to Numbers 13, verse 27. This is a story of the Israelites and Moses. So Moses sends 12 spies into the promised land, and 12 spies come back. And this is where we pick it up, and it goes like this. This was their report to Moses. The spies have come back, and this is what they're reporting to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed bountiful, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful and their tongues are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The scripture continues to say they spread that bad report. After that, they began to plot, to complain, to scheme. Then the verse even goes on to say in verse 14, 21 to 23, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will enter the land that I gave them. Their destination was the promised land. Their bad report rerouted them into the desert. What words are rerouting your destiny? What words are you, what sentences are you speaking that are rerouting your destiny and having you stuck in the desert? See, complaints were at the helm, so they went in the complete wrong direction. They went around in circles. But there was two spies that had a different report. And it says in Numbers 14:23, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude, a different spirit than the others. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Caleb and Joshua had a different report, so their words determined their destiny, which was the promised land. Their words determine their direction. Which leads me to my second question. Hope you're writing these questions down. I'll test you later. I'm joking. Question two is, ooh, there's an echo. Is it me? Okay, we'll sort that out. Question number two, change mic. Hello? Okay, can I carry on? Is that cool? It's just distracting me. I hope it's not distracting you guys. And so question number two is, what direction have you been talking yourself to? Have you been talking yourself into the direction of your destiny or away from it? What direction have you been talking yourself to? And then I want to move on to my second point for those note takers. And my second point is, our words can bring destruction. Now, this was to me the most challenging part of James 3, because it says in James 3, verse 5, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Shoo! James does not mince his words, does he? He is straight to the point. James is trying to warn us that if we don't tame our tongue has the ability to destroy us, to destroy the things around us, the people around us. And I found this quote real quick, and it says, but the human tongue is a beast that few can master. It strains constantly to break out of its cage. And if it is not tamed, it will run wild and cause you grief. Not too long ago, we had Cape Town, the Table Mountain fires. And I think because of that, we kind of have a vivid picture of what James is trying to tell us. We saw the pain and the destruction and the grief that Table Mountain fire caused. So we know exactly, we have a vivid picture that Paul is trying to tell us right now. That if you don't tame your tongue, it has the ability to destroy. But so many of us are numb or have normalized to the culture of an untamed tongue. Let me put it another way. So many of us have normalized setting people and things on fire that we don't even realize that we're arsonists. Some of us are commenting on social media about something what we don't even understand or we don't fully know about. We're not realizing that we're lighting a fire and letting it burn. Or we're having conversations with our wives and our tongues are untamed and we light a fire and we don't realize that we're setting our relationships on fire. When we're talking to our kids and our tongues are untamed by the Holy Spirit and we don't realize that we're setting our kids on fire. How many of us don't realize that we've been setting people and things on fire? Or when you speak about bad about this nation and you don't realize that you're setting the nation on fire? That convicted me as I was studying that verse, because so many of us are normalized to it. So many of us just type whatever it is that we're typing on Facebook and we don't even give it a second thought. Yeah. I read a report on the Table Mountain fire, and the investigation says they think somebody just drove past and on purpose just dropped a light and set that fire and drove away. But isn't that us sometimes? On our phones, in conversations, at work, in gossip. And Matthew 12 verse 36 tells us this, I'll tell you on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. 37 goes on to say, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. A group of words strung together is called a sentence. What are you sentencing yourself and other people to? Life or death? Life or death? And my third point, our words reveal what's in our hearts. James 3:11 goes on to say, does a spring of water bubble out from both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Luke 6:45 goes, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Let's put it another way. Your words testify to the condition of your heart. And I was reading up, because I found it interesting. Your tongue and your heart, two very different organs and very far apart, but they're tongue-tied. They're tied. See what I did there? Tongue-tied. And I read up on it, and guess what scientists and doctors are saying? They're saying microorganisms on the tongue help diagnose heart failure. The tongues of patients with chronic heart failure look totally different from those of healthy people. See, science is catching up with the Word of God. Have you ever wondered why the doctor tells you to stick out your tongue when you go visit them? Because it's an indication of your health. It's an indication of your health. See, when our hearts aren't right, our words will never be healthy. But you might be asking, what causes heart failure? Let me tell you what causes heart failure. Heart failure often develops after other conditions have damaged or weakened the heart. And it can also occur if the heart becomes too stiff. How many of us have let other conditions, the world outside, the words spoken on social media, the feed that you're feeding into yourself every morning when you scroll through Facebook, when you scroll through Instagram, when you're sticking around in a group of negative people, is causing damage or is weakening your heart? Or maybe it's offense, and offense is making your heart too stiff for healthy words to speak out. See, the way we speak to people and about people is a report on our condition of our hearts. The way we talk about our country testifies on the health of our heart. The way we talk about the next generation testifies about the condition of our heart. And the question for this point that I really want to ask you is, have you had a heart check lately? Have you had a heart check lately? We need to do heart checks on a regular basis. We need to check our hearts to keep our tongues in check. And my final point really is, our words create our reality. And James 3 verse 11, it says, does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? James is saying, what you say is what you sow, and what you reap is your reality. So if you're sowing grapes, you'll get grapevines. If you're sowing figs, you're going to get figs. So it's the same with our words. What we sow with our words, what we sow into our children, the words that we sow into our families, with our spouses, the words we sow at our workspace, They determine the reality that we'll live in. Some of you are wondering why your workspace is not healthy. Have you checked the seed that you've planted at your workspace? Some of us are wondering why our family's communication is bad. Have you checked the seed that you've been planting? What you sow, what you say is what you sow, and what you reap will be your reality. Can I get the keys? If we want to see healthy work environment, if we want to see healthy families, if we want to see healthy businesses, if we want to see healthy relationships, we need to be sowing the right words. Even God sowed the right words right at the beginning when he created the world. He created it with a word. He created reality with a word. What are we creating? What are we creating? Don't be shocked at your harvest if you haven't sown the right words. Don't be shocked at your harvest if you haven't sown the right words. And last year I did a message also on the power of words, slightly different from this one tonight. But I failed to do what I'm about to do now, which is give you practical points on how to help tame the tongue, on how to have a healthy tongue. And the first thing that we need to do, one of the things that we need to do, is we need to allow God to change our hearts. Because it's from our heart where our words flow from. Psalms 19 verse 14 says, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." That should be a verse that we wake up every morning and say over ourselves, over our kids, over our family, over our workspace. That, Lord, may the words coming out of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, may it be pleasing to you. The second thing that we need to do is we need to put a filter in what we allow in our hearts. Some of us are polluting our hearts and wondering why our lives are so unhealthy. Matthew 12, verse 34 to 35 says, "You brood of vipers." Even Matthew was very direct. My. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For your mouths speak what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of a good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." We need to filter what we allow into our hearts. The next thing we need to do is we need to decide to speak life. Speak words of affection, words of praise. Proverbs 25 verse 11 says, "Timely advice is lovely, like gold apples in a silver basket." We need to speak words of encouragement. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear it." We need to speak words of healing. Gentle words are like a tree of life. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I remember not so long ago, I lost a good friend of mine, and I was inconsolable. And we went to her funeral, and I sat there, and I was weeping, and my dad came around, and he held me, and he said, "It's gonna be all right." He said, "It's gonna be all right." He said, "I am here." He said, "You're loved." gentle words of healing that I needed to hear in that moment, that death is not the end. We need to speak words of healing, especially in such a broken and sad world where people need it. And we need to speak words of faith. Romans 4 verse 17 says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. We need to speak words of faith. Words that say, if God said it, I believe it. If God said, go, I'll go. In my quiet time, I was reading Luke, and the disciples, this is before Jesus had met the disciples, so he's about to meet the disciples, and they're out in the boat, and they're fishing, and they'd been fishing all night, and they had caught nothing. And this is them on their way back, and they're rowing all the way back. And as they're coming back to shore, Jesus shouts at them, hey, why don't you try throwing your nets on the other side? And my response would have been very much different from what one of the disciples was saying. My response would have been, we've been throwing this net around each side for the whole night. I don't know what you expect to happen. But the words were different. They said, we have been fishing all night and caught nothing, but we will do as you say. See, they had doubt, but their doubt did not disqualify them because their words directed their direction. And so they threw the net on the other side and caught a big catch. We need to speak words of faith. And as I close, can we close our eyes real quick? Romans 10 verse 10 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right, and openly declaring your faith with your mouth that you are saved. We see that pattern again, the heart and the mouth pattern. We see it again in Romans 10. So right now, if you want to sow seeds of life and salvation into your life, Romans 10 says it, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Let's sow seeds of life and salvation in this place. See, James's book and chapter 3 might sound condemning, but actually it's a life-giving book. It's a life-giving chapter because it says you can tame the tongue through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus. And so right now, I want to give the opportunity to anyone who hasn't chosen Jesus to be their Lord, to be their Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to sow seeds of life and salvation into your life. And I'll ask you to raise your hand, and together as a church, we will use our words to declare and to witness on behalf of what had happened in their hearts, that Jesus has come and made all things new, that He is our Lord and our Savior. So right now, if that's you, if you're saying, hey, Lucanio, I want to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I want to sow seeds of life and salvation. I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. 3, Jesus loves you more than you'll ever know. 2, He died on the cross for you. 1, if that's you, just put up your hand. No one else is looking. It's just you and God right now in this place. Now we're going to declare this together. We're going to declare as a church family what has happened, on behalf of what has happened in those hearts that put their hands up, whether it's online, whether it's overflow, whether it's in the building. Dear Jesus, all together, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. But Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again on the third day. And I choose you, Lord, to be my Lord and my Savior for all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Come on, let's honor Lucanya and thank him one more time. Come on, let's just show him some love. So I want to encourage you guys to be reading through the book of James in your quiet times. Of course, we're going to carry on with part 5 and 6 next week. My wife will be preaching in the morning. I think it's Chris in the evening. And then we're going to have Dina Ciccatello preach on the AM the next week. I think that's the 29th. So we've got an amazing few weeks of church coming up. We've also got a big announcement we're making next week, Sunday. So I encourage you not to miss out on that. We're very excited about that. And then this Wednesday, myself, Leanne, and Matt will be, Camps Bay, our team will be there. And we're going to not only be sharing vision, we'll also be doing a Q&A. So if you see our post about Camps Bay, why don't you share it? You might have friends who live in that Atlantic seaboard area who want to be part of it. We'll be at Camps Bay High. But it's awesome. We've actually got people who've already booked people, families, young adults, where they want to know about kids' church. And so we are very excited. And, you know, in 4 weeks' time, I think it's Melkbos, we planted, it would be 12 months. So 1 year since we planted Melkbos. And so just after we've planted Melkbos, we will plant Camps Bay. So what an amazing season. Remember, we're going to babysit our past or what's going to happen in our future because of COVID. We're going to build a church that's worth coming back to, a church that's worth being part of because we're reaching out, throwing the net out. So we're very excited. This morning, we actually had moved Melkbos forward again. Just because of the generosity of our people, we've been able to add a switcher and just add more live elements. And so it's just awesome to be doing this. And yeah, this year I encourage you guys, don't miss out on next week. If you do miss out, we're just going to make sure you don't hear the announcement. That's the rule. Hey, look, the Kanye said that. I'm only joking. But either in person or jump online and let's celebrate together next week. And I'm so pumped about our future as a church. And I encourage you, remember, in this Book of James series, it's all about, you don't have to do everything, but we encourage you to step out in one thing. Find out what God's saying to you and apply it, and even just now with your tongue. I remember when I got saved, I was swearing a lot. I was playing sports, and I actually felt like, God, I really want to stop swearing. I just got saved. And that was the one thing that I felt God was actually talking to me about. So I said, God, I need your help. So I remember Monday morning, I just got on my knees every morning. God, please help me to stop swearing. That's all it was. It was so simple. And just a few days later, it's like I stopped swearing. And I've gone on that journey. And then the next thing God spoke to me about, and I started to, by faith, step out in it. And I want to encourage you, even as Lucania preached, and God would convict you about some stuff. Remember, God will not call you to what he'll not sort of provide for you. So his vision, his provision. And what I mean by that is God will never ask you to overcome something that he's not overcome yet or will not help you overcome. Okay, you're not going to do this alone. So in this book of James, you're going to apply something and go for it. So I'm going to say goodbye to our online family. Can't wait to see you next week. Big announcement next week. Have an awesome week. Remember, can you read from the book of James? And to everyone else, trust that you have an awesome week. For our new people, we'd love to socialize with you and encourage you guys to stay, have a coffee. And for some of you, we're going to see you on Wednesday night at our interest night at Camps Bay. Remember, invite your world. God bless.